Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Renee, who is yet another person in the Sangha who has stepped forward to do a fundraiser for the folks in Africa in this Bridgewalk season and is here tonight to talk to us about that. Welcome, Renee.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good. So yeah. What's going on in the world of fundraising?
Well, as some people know who have been to the Bridgewalk, I've made bracelets there, reminder bracelets, at the Bridgewalk for the last couple of years, and they were quite a good fundraiser.
To say the least. Uh-huh.
and they're a lot of fun to make and a lot of fun to wear and just fun all around doing it. And this year, we thought about doing pre-ordering the bracelets. And one of the reasons that arose for me was because I'm really busy making the bracelets at the Bridgewalk, I don't get to enjoy a lot of the activities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus we have a beautiful website, and so folks can go pre-order their bracelets, and I can bring them to the Bridgewalk.
Okay. So
as a fundraiser.
As a fundraiser, yeah. So many things already about that I want to ask you about. First, I wondered if we could just talk a little bit about the reminder bracelets and kind of what that is and how it came to be and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, they were inspired at a retreat, and by some of the monks were wearing things all over their clothing to remind them to come back to the moment.
Signs on your chest or
yeah,
tape across your finger or that sort of thing.
Twisty ties.
Twisty ties.
Yeah, all the things that we do, besides permanent tattoos, which isn't a bad idea either. It was at the end of a New Year's retreat, and it just dropped in and to do reminder bracelets. And I immediately, after I left the retreat, I went directly to the bead store.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Because I felt the resistance immediately.
You knew, okay, yeah. We got to ride the wave right now if this is ever
exactly. I am doing this new thing I just heard on a couple radio shows ago, do it now. I really like that advice.
Yeah. Well, that would be a good reminder bracelet.
Yes, it would. Do it now. Make some of those for the Bridgewalk.
Yeah, and so
I did that, and then I think I sent some to folks at the monastery to start with.
That's right, you did.
And yeah, and that they were very well received, and to my surprise, I have to admit.
Really?
And
the voices had a different scenario.
Exactly. Oh. And then they just kept growing from there. I just kept doing it, and people kept liking them and buying them, and I've had a lot of fun with them, wearing them myself and making them, and
yeah. And I'll tell you that anyone who comes on retreat who has been with us in practice for any length of time has at least one reminder bracelet on their wrist. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has become a really, it's such a simple but effective practice tool, a reminder.
Yes, it is. They are really simple and effective, and I love it when people tell me how much it's helping them, you know, through the whenever they buy one online or just, you know, I just hear about it, and I love it. I love that. Yeah.
And one of the things I love about it is that, you know, how practice is always it's always growing for each of us, and so like the next sort of thing I want to practice with, the next insight will drop in, the next inspiration, the next whatever it is, and then you can always get a bracelet to go with that.
Yeah, and life says things in short little phrases.
Yeah, exactly.
They generally fit on a bracelet.
It's an extreme version of the 50 words or less.
Exactly. That's true. That's very true. And they're always new and exciting ones, and when I hear about a new one, I get so excited, I go home and make a couple of them and send them to the next retreat. And they sell out.
Exactly, they do. They sell out. Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say is we now sell them at the end of every retreat along with, you know, other practice kinds of things. And, yeah, people buy them like crazy. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
This is sort of one of those, you know, California sort of a thing. But I just love I wear mine to bed on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Because I just love that message is kind of on me, if you will.
That's great.
There it is. You know, it's just, you know,
yeah.
If any of that stuff is true about, you know, the messages that go in ways that we don't even have any idea. But I just love having that message on me all night long as I sleep. So that's one of the things about it.
That's great. I love that idea. I'll start. I haven't done that one, so I'll try that one.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
So, and it's obviously it's not just people who are going to the Bridge Walk who can participate in getting a reminder bracelet that will benefit the folks in Africa.
Oh no, yeah, they could order them online. It's on the front page now, and there's an order form actually to put in what you want it to say, the size and the colors, and it's a fundraiser for Cantalamba, to support the project. Yeah.
The website
is keepitsimple.org.
Keepitsimple.org, and that's mm-hmm. where, you know, all of Sherry's books and CDs and that sort of thing are available now. And
yep.
That sounds like the bracelets right now are on the homepage, on the front page.
They're on the front page, and also some pictures from the last blog that you did, and
oh, good.
Just a few things like that, just to explain a few things about the Bridge Walk, and then the order form's right there on the front page. Yep.
Isn't it fun how, as you were saying that, as a Sangha, so, you know, you're doing the reminder bracelets all the time, all year round. And as a Sangha, we choose this focused period of time where our concentrated efforts and energies and love and resources and funds go to the team in Cantalamba. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And the blogs are awesome to read to get me involved particularly, and I'm sure a lot of other people in that time of year that we do this, and it's great. Yeah,
that's good to hear. It's really that is a way to, because, you know, I know for me, and I hear it from other folks who have the great privilege of actually physically going and being there, it's such an enormous gift to get to be there firsthand. And I mean, you can't help but be incredibly moved and, you know, want to just give every last thing that you own to the folks.
Right.
So it is nice to hear that our efforts to communicate that in the blogs and to really wanting people to get it, that, you know, it isn't, I mean, it is far away, but it isn't this thing that's the project of a few folks. It's really our project as a whole Sangha. Everyone can make it happen.
Well, you know, Jen, I totally feel that way. Like, I was totally pulled into it. I was couldn't wait for the next one to come. I was just watching it and reading. I went and reread them. They were beautiful, and all of that comes through. I'm sure there's a huge difference in being there and reading it, but it felt like I could be as close to there as I could be.
That's great.
By reading it, so it was very, very nice. Nice isn't the right word. It was amazing to read it.
Yeah, I do know it. I mean, I have a little experience of it in the sense of, I know, especially when I first get back, I'm just so excited to see the photos that Teresa sends every week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even just little captions that she writes, because it's just a reminder that, gosh, that's right. You know, we go there and we have this concentrated 2.5 weeks with them, and we do all of these things, and then we get on an airplane and off we go.
Yeah.
And they're there doing it every day.
Yeah.
And just with the carrying through the new projects and, you know, continuing with the ones that have been around for years and years. And it's so inspiring.
It is inspiring. And the transformation that has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes I was wondering, I was like, are these the same kids?
I know.
Like, it's like, wow.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I don't know if
from when we started it. Yeah.
We were talking to Sandy last week around the long San Diego yard sale that they've been doing, and she was there literally the day when we first went to Cantalamba, before we even had a project there, before it even occurred to us to have a project there.
Uh-huh.
And exactly what she was describing. I mean, the kids were, it was hard to stand there. It was really hard.
I remember some of the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure, she described it perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah, and now, you know, they come up to the car every day when we get there, and they're just, you know, there they are. They're just kids, you know.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. So it's incredible. So I think I feel like I'm a huge part of it and have participated in it and contributed a great amount. Yeah.
That's so
I love that feeling. Yeah.
And so the bracelets are such a great way for everyone to participate in the sense of, you know, during this I don't know if it stops on October 5th or whatever the period of time is, but, you know, soon, order your practice bracelets, you know, however.
We'll take it. We'll probably take it through, like, the end of October or something. Uh-huh. So, you know, it'll be up for a little while. Probably, I would say at least through the end of October.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but to donate really, for the project.
Yeah. You know, think of all the practice reminder bracelets you want. And order them,
yeah,
because now's a great time. It benefits you, obviously. You know, each of us who gets a practice bracelet is hugely benefited, and it also benefits the work in Cantalumba. So,
yeah, definitely. It's a great
you.
Way to support yourself and the project. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so huge thanks to you for your efforts for a long, long time in many, many ways, and specifically for this effort in this 2013 Bridgewalk season.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, we're going to turn over to Michael, but anything else, Renee, you wanted to add before we end?
Well, yeah, I would just like to say just, you know, have fun with fundraisers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we did that fundraiser thing for a while, and but really just do something that you enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah. And what I really appreciated your point in the beginning, that often something will drop in and don't, you know, it sounds like the voices wanted to jump right on it.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely,
you know,
they did.
Go for it. And,
yeah,
you know, it sounds like it really turned out to be fun. But, you know, the voices are going to probably want to jump all over it, but don't listen and just jump right in. And pretty soon the fun kind of picks up a momentum of its own.
The fun is right on the other side of that.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, why would the voices be singing so loud?
Exactly. Yeah. It's right on the other side of that little resistance wall right there.
Yeah, exactly. Great point.
Yep.
All right. Good. Well, thanks, Renee.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care.
See you soon. Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Renee. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Surprise, Michael.
Oh, surprise.
It's actually Justin this time. Sherry's on retreat, so I'm filling in.
Welcome. It's great
thank
to have you,
you
here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for the in-the-moment communication.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, it is good. I just love a good surprise like that. Brings us right back here.
I bet it does.
Yes, it does.
So that was fun, what they were saying, huh?
That was totally fun. Yeah, I was just trying to think of which bracelet I wanted to order now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know what I really like about it is it's fun seeing the big picture about what goes on, and you know it's sort of implied in what they were saying that you know to have something that's really good, you know, like the project in Africa, and we could say the same thing about practice in general, but you know that's just so specific and so moving to see what's going on there, and to have something like that that we're doing that everyone can participate in,
yeah,
that just seems like such a it's just such a nice setup for everybody, a very compassionate setup for everybody. Instead of, here's these people over here, over there, doing this wonderful thing that I have to kind of, you know, sit back and watch and admire, you know, the way it's set up is we all get to participate in it. And it could be, it's just as simple as ordering one of those bracelets like they were talking about.
Yep. Yep. It's great. And what dropped in, if you were saying that, is, I know for me with conditioning, there can be a sense of I admire what they're doing, and then conditioning wants me to feel bad because I'm not contributing or along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, our practice is participation. There is no self and other. We're all in this together, and it just, you know, negates that conditioning.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice that you said that because that really is the compassionate part, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's compassionate to that we all get to participate in something life-giving.
Yes.
And, you know, and like, you know, the same goes for practice in general, of course, too. You know, we get to participate in practice. You know, we can do email classes and we go on retreats and we're all out there sitting and all those kind of things. And so that's a way, too. So with, there's, you know, and then the Africa Project, you know, just offers a way that's very, just very tangible. That's what one of the things I really like about it. But it gives us a way to just to get out of conditioned mind, you know, get out of our stories about how, you know, life isn't working or it's too hard or whatever the story might be, and participate in something that's bigger than that. And we get to have the experience of what it's like to be, you know, lit up, being connected with life, making a contribution to life. instead of just kind of moping around being a separate self.
I'm totally with you. And practice shows us how to do that in a really practical step one, step two, step three kind of way, which to me is one of the incredible beauties of it.
It is, isn't it? It's one of the beauties of the Africa work, too, I think.
Yeah.
Is that because it is, it's an embodiment of practice, even though, you know, when we're in Africa, you know, we don't really present ourselves that way, you know, as, you know, that's just not what it's all about. It's trying to, you know, like proselytize or spread something around or anything like that.
Yeah.
Instead, we're being practice.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing.
It is an amazing thing, and it is so incredibly effective. It just, I know for myself, when I'm coming from being practice, it just, every life is much smoother and more compassionate and generous when I'm doing the best I can. And if I'm assuming anything, assuming that everybody else is doing the best that they can as well.
And like for the people in Africa, I mean, because of the way it's set up, you know, it's not set up in the same way over there. It's set up as here. So here is not set up as there's something that a few individuals are doing that's really wonderful that I don't get to participate in. Here's something that we're doing. This is our project. This is what we all get to participate in. It. And it's kind of the same thing over there, where it's not that there's these people who live in this other place who are giving us something that we don't have.
Right.
That's not the attitude of mind at all. It's that we all have something to give, and there's a exchange, you might say. You know, so we get to participate with them, and we learn about ourselves and about life and about the world through them, because they, in my experience, they really do have something that in our culture is missing, it feels like, a lot of times. You know, the sense of community and family, and there's a joy there for people, you know, even though, you know, a lot of people here would look at that and say, you know, there's no way to be happy in those circumstances. But there is, and they embody that. And that just seems to me like something that's so valuable for us. You know, us privileged folks on the other side of the ocean. It's very compassionate. Everybody is kind of the same in that way. Everybody's participating from where they are in the same thing that is really life-giving and that really works.
Yes, I agree 100%. What dropped in as you were talking was the word sangha. And the meaning of that, which I understand to be walking together, and the sense of community that comes from that as we're all participating.
Oh, that's neat. I don't know if I've ever heard that before, actually, Michael. Walking together, that's very beautiful.
We are so lucky.
And one of the lucky things is that we got a bridge walk coming up.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And my one announcement is that there is still time to register for it.
All right.
Which is great. That's great. So you can support the Africa Project and come have fun in San Francisco.
Yeah, it should be really, really fun. I actually, as those guys were talking a minute ago, I have a picture in my mind of Renee and her team. She had kind of a whole team there last year.
Yes.
You probably saw that too, making bracelets. They got
this
special kind of board they use to help things. I don't know what it does, but I think it helps them line it all up and stuff. And so, it just kind of brought me back to the experience again. I can't wait. It's amazing that it's here again already.
Yes. What is it, like 2 weeks? Yeah. Great. And folks can go to schedule.livingcompassion.org to find the Bridge Walk and to find lots of other great events. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406 pound, and then you would enter 1 pound or your PIN followed by pound. And I want to remind folks to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get talking.
All right.
First caller, you are now on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Justin, Michael, it's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi.
Wow, I'm fired up.
All right.
The good news and that that little intro. So I'm registered already for the Bridge Walk.
Cool.
And I have a collection of practice bracelets, but I have a couple that that I haven't ordered yet. So
now's the perfect time, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my new one is going to be Devotion.
Devotion. Yeah, that's good. So every time you look at that bracelet, you're reminded that that's something that's inspiring to you right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm calling every month at the moment for support. And this month, I guess I just have a practice works story.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes I feel like that, this is an aside, sometimes I feel like that is something that conditioning won't let me talk about my struggles, but if I have a practice work story, like, that's okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's I think a lot of people go for that. Yeah, I can't talk. Yeah, exactly. I can't talk about something that's negative. I gotta be positive. I gotta act like I'm, you know, lit up in this particular sort of way.
Oh. Yeah. But truly, right now, practice is really working for me. So.
It just so happens to be it is working right now.
Right, and so I had an assignment. So one of the things I'm doing new this year is Zen Awareness Coaching, and I am getting so much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful program.
It really is.
It has really just kind of kick-started my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an assignment from my coach to look at the process of life unfolding and watch how conditioning tries to get a hold of it.
Okay.
And
that's good.
Put its own slant on
mm-hmm.
it.
Which it's doing all the time.
Well, yes. So this came from one kind of insight that I had where conditioning was like off balance because I was dealing with some really new content. I saw that it didn't know what to say. Like it couldn't be in the expert seat. It couldn't take its normal slant on things because it just didn't know anything about this new thing I was, you know, finding
uh-huh.
out about.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, yeah, my commitment this week to my coach was like, I'm going to just watch that because I'm sure it's going on everywhere. And what happened was, I, having set that intention, I woke up one morning much earlier than I wanted to be up. Like, I had, like, 2 hours before my alarm rang. And when it was time to get up and get going with my day, I was sleepy, and I felt, like, a lot of resistance to doing yoga. That was my first thing on
mm-hmm.
my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning was there, and it was this is a place of really big suffering for me. Is that getting like right before my foot hits the floor, right?
Uh-huh.
Like I have to get out of bed, and I don't want to. And it was basically saying, you don't feel like it, you never do, and ha ha ha, that's kind of everything that's wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
like. You know, it's like, I haven't even gotten out of bed, and I'm the wrong person today.
Yeah, which
you know?
Is no, and there's no accident there, right? Because that's my experience, too. You know, it's trying to prep you for the day. You know, before,
yep.
you know, my experience is when I get up, the life energy starts to move, you know, and so suddenly there's energy
right.
there, and then, you know, I can be engaged with life and all this stuff. But before that happens, before that energy really starts to move, the voices tend to be a lot more believable. You know, a lot more vulnerable just because we're not really fully awake and we haven't, you know, things just haven't started moving yet. And in that space, conditioning is trying to kind of set the parameters of the day to make sure that it all happens in a container that serves it and produces suffering.
Oh, yeah. Well, you may have backed this up one step from me, because what happened for me was that I think actually what you just said is probably like literally what was going on with the energy in my physical form at that
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
But when conditioning started talking, the mentor, I guess, was right there with my intention and said, you know, what if this is just life unfolding and you're a little sleepy right now?
Uh-huh. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. And I told my coach, all of a sudden, I mean, that dropped in, and it was like this shock wave through me. I mean, it was like an earthquake or something, because it was so obviously true. You know, I could not deny that that was what was going on. You know, awareness had prompted me, and I recognized it, and then it was like the difference between that obvious truth and what conditioning had just said,
mm-hmm.
like the difference between authenticity and the illusion
mm-hmm.
was right in front of me.
Uh-huh. It's night and day, isn't it?
It is night and day.
And we don't see it because we're being constantly programmed by conditioning. You know, that's, you know, like you're saying, from the very first moment of wakefulness,
yep.
it's talking yep. to us. And it has to talk to us so much because the what's actually here is so here. You know, it's got to kind of keep us distracted from that all the time. And so to see it in contrast,
yes.
you know, there's
this story. It's so powerful.
Yeah, it seems powerful, doesn't it? And I think that's
I mean, the flip side, the authenticity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like a rock, you know?
Exactly,
that's
yeah.
just my experience of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so conditioning has to work really hard to keep that out of our awareness. And to have an experience like
yeah.
that where, and this to me is the really interesting part, you know, kind of sounds like kind of out of nowhere that dropped in.
In a way,
mm-hmm.
but the practice, like I wasn't, there was no consciousness on my part. Like I said, I was like crawling out of bed. You
uh-huh.
know? But I had set the intention.
Yeah, you had set the intention. And so we
watched life unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what came through. It's like,
mm-hmm.
what if this is life unfolding? Then you're kind of sleepy. And that's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really speaks to the power of setting conscious intentions, doesn't it? It's like it gets put into the system. And so, I mean, it sounds like you didn't even particularly remember that. I mean, it's not like you were trying to make that happen. But because you're doing practice and because you're bringing consciousness to your life in that way, and you've set an approach to life. It's like the spirit of inquiry. You really want to see how this is all working. And so then it just shows up for you at exactly the right time.
Yeah, yeah, and it builds, you know, things like, you know, because it just builds kind of one thing on the next.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so grateful, and I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, like that shockwave, it's like I'm seeing it now. Like I'm seeing, it's like, somehow I feel that, you know, I'm like, is this authentic? I'm not really saying this. It's like, is this authenticity? Does this feel authentic?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, am I in a conversation right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, how conditioning does what it does is always the same, isn't it? I mean, it's doing the same process all the time with different contents. That's one of the things I love so much
right.
about practice is that it teaches us how to pay attention to process. So you basically just nabbed it
yes.
in a big process. And it
Absolutely.
Happened to be around waking up in the morning, what goes on there. But that's not the only place it's going on. It's probably going on all over the place where conditioning is putting meaning onto the things that are happening that have nothing to do with what's actually happening. So now that you've got an angle
yes.
on that process, as you look, I bet you're just seeing it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I did. You know, I am. I did and I am.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And it's so perfect because, from conditioning's point of view, if a person can be hooked into believing it, because, you know, things are happening all the time. So if it can make something that happens or that's going to happen anyway mean something bad, right, mean that something's wrong, then you're just hooked over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I see that that's how that was so prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's, you know, it's still going on, but I've got this little bit of freedom from it,
mm-hmm.
Which is just, I mean, it's such a blessing. I have to say that in the past couple of weeks, I feel better than I think I ever remember feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, more just a calm-centered feeling of peace and acceptance.
Yeah. Well, living in a world where there's
incredible.
Something wrong, living in a world where there's something wrong all the time stinks. I mean, that doesn't feel good
yeah.
at all. But living in a world where there's that's not going on, you know, where there's a different process, a process of being here and being with what is, boy, that really feels good.
That's my experience. So,
mm-hmm.
so thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'll go and let other people on now. But for all the practice opportunities. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you very much, Julian. See you soon in San Fran.
Yes, that's a walk. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air. Justin, we're going to break to hear about our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Sure.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have more callers here, Justin.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Justin. This is Bridget from Virginia.
Hey, Bridget.
Hi.
So this is totally crazy. I was thinking, wow, I'm probably not going to hear those little words, you're unmuted, and then there they were.
It's a moment, isn't it?
It is. And so, you know, I don't mean to say I don't have anything to talk about, but I
mm-hmm.
called tonight because I made a commitment to myself last week that I was going to call this week.
Fantastic.
And so I did, and I just sort of paid attention over the week as to kind of what dropped in and what I heard, and was kind of surprised at the amount of resistance that there was just to making a phone call.
I bet. And what do you make of that? What's going on there?
You know, it's funny because the more I paid attention, the more I noticed that it's the same type of resistance I hear all in so many different things, which is, you know, you shouldn't do it because you might not be perfect at it.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be the right time. You should wait until things are more whatever, fill in the
mm-hmm.
blank, perfect,
mm-hmm.
settled,
mm-hmm.
in order. And so I've really, since the last email class on resistance, been paying attention to those resistance messages and just seeing them and kind of saying, huh, okay, I see, but actually they're, you know, now's as perfect a time as any.
Heck yeah. And have you noticed, or I wonder if this is your experience, that the kind of things that it resists are things that tend to take care of you, that are expansive, or things that your heart really wants, like that?
Totally. It's always something around that, and never something around, an activity or a thought process that gets in the way of those things.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just that right there. It's like, you know, that's bizarre when you think about it. You know, so we're going to resist everything that takes care of us, but not resist everything that doesn't. That doesn't make any
sense.
Yeah,
and, you know, and the crazy thing is, so when you say, oh, all right, I won't call tonight because I have too much going on, then the first thing that falls in is, you know, you really should have called.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it gets us coming and going, doesn't it?
It really does. I think about how it drops in, and when I think about compassion and when I do my recording and listening, just how the compassion that the voices interrupt the compassion that I want to give to myself,
mm-hmm.
In such a way that, you know, I end up being so much more compassionate sometimes towards other people, than I am towards myself.
Yeah, it's not allowed to come towards you, is it?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite, it sounds like. You know, what you get to have is everything that gets in the way, that doesn't really work, that interferes with what you really want or what really takes care of you. That's what's allowed. But, you know, you're not allowed to have things that you really enjoy or that really do take care of you or that it kind of expand you or your sense of the world or your sense of yourself.
Right, right, exactly. And it also falls into, you know, you should put other people first. And,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, that's a message that I certainly have heard throughout my life, so that's not surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once I started to pay attention and see if it was there,
mm-hmm.
And not treating myself like I would treat everybody else.
I know, it's nuts, isn't it? So
this is
obviously, it's a really important awareness, isn't it? To see that this whole process that you're describing for us is being concocted by conditioned mind. It's setting you up on one side, you know, making sure that you don't do what it is that will really take care of you and not take care of it. And then once it does, it beats you up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So seeing that, what impact does that have? Does it change the way that you see things?
It does. I find myself the more that I practice being aware and recognizing when it happens, really surprisingly, the more I realize how often it happens.
Mm-hmm.
When I didn't pay attention, or even now, if I, you know, my attention wanders, and I think, oh no, you know, things are fine and it's not happening. And then I kind of come back to really paying attention. It's just, it's sometimes really amazing to me how much it's really there.
I know.
It tends to really open my eyes to how important it is to pay attention. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you hear those things to say, no, actually, this is good for me, and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was projecting. That it gives you more power to make the choice you want, instead of the one conditioning is making for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that has been so helpful, and I know Sherry would find no surprise to this, as you guys won't either, but is that the more that I record and listen and go to the mentor to say, you know, here's what's going on, and the mentor is able to say, you know, talk to me like I would talk to other people with compassion,
mm-hmm.
the more I'm able to see, you know, that it's okay to take care of myself, and it's okay to say, you know, no, this is actually very good for me, and this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm not going to do.
Yeah, that's neat, isn't it? So here's what I hear you're saying, and tell me if this feels right to you, that what you're learning to do is sort of back it up one step and move into relationship to, you know, the human that, you know, we might call Bridget, in the same way that you're used to being in relationship in relationship with other people. So
yes.
You know very well, it sounds like, the experience of accessing compassion for others. You know, you have a conditioning, like we all do, that says, well, that's okay, but you can't have it for you. I mean, that's not allowed. But it's like, it's kind of like you're stepping back from a place. You're no longer the human so much who is looking for that. You're even more the presence and that can offer that compassion to this person who you just happen to live the most close with.
Yes, exactly. And it's so amazing, and it's so much fun.
Uh-huh. It really is, isn't it? It's kind
it
of
is.
Like having a best friend.
It is, who's always right there with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and what I love about it is, you know, like speaking from the point of view of the being who's being taken care of, you know, so there's this person that I've got, you know, this mentor, who has no needs of his or her own.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't need to, you know, attend to these other things and not me. You know, doesn't have his or her own issues that they're trying to resolve. Now, this is someone who has 100% attention, focused attention, 100% of the time, you know, 24/7 available for me, and it's a loving attention. It's what I think we're all looking for in actual other outside people, and you know, don't tend to find.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's funny that the more I look to the mentor, the more that I pay attention, the more that I record and listen, the less I find myself gravitating towards other people for all of those things. I mean, I still love being around people, and I still love, you know, interacting and talking with people, but it's just not to make it better, not to make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for the pleasure of interacting with other people.
Yeah, you're starting in a completely different place, aren't you? You're not
yeah.
starting in a place of need and you know, being we talk about a separate self who is unable to take care of herself and is looking for in exactly the place where it can't, what you're looking for can't come from, you know, because we can't get it from the outside. So instead
right.
of that, you're starting as a grown-up, basically, someone who, this is my favorite definition of a grown-up, is someone who can take care of their own needs.
Right, right.
And so you're starting off as that person, because you've got you and you've got this compassionate being mentor inside of you, and if there's a whole complete package right there, you can be absolutely taken care of, and then from then go into your life and love the people as much as you want to.
Yes, exactly. And just, you know, having that mentor, that person there, you know, through the ups and the downs and just all that life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an important addition, isn't it? Because, you know, a lot of times things are hard in life. But that's okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's
exactly.
okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The, in some ways, you know, we can look at those as really good opportunities. You know, here's a place to really practice that compassion and really strengthen my compassion muscles, and show this person who, you know, I'm here in this life to take care of, how important it is to me to take care of them, and how that's actually possible.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I thank you so much for the call tonight. I'll get off and let someone else get on and talk. And just you all have a great, great rest of the day.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you calling in.
You bet. Thanks, Justin. Thanks,
okay,
Michael.
Okay, take care.
Uh-huh. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bridget. You're listening to Open Air. Justin, what dropped in for me listening to that conversation is the joy and pleasure it is to be around people who are meeting their own needs.
Yeah, it really is. Isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's, there's an attraction there.
Yeah.
You know, wow, there's somebody who is okay. I want to be around that person.
Yes. And we're privileged because we get a lot of that with Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
we go on retreat and at the monastery and around the monks and the guide.
You know, that's an excellent point, actually, Michael. That's an excellent point because, you know, what occurred to me when you said that is, you know, most people don't have that kind of modeling when they're growing up.
Yeah.
You know, there's not anybody in their lives who can actually do that. Because, you know, in general, most people are, you know, in conditioning, struggling, looking to conditioning meet their needs. And, of course, conditioning has no interest in that. Conditioning is taking advantage of the needs that are there to produce suffering and just all the awfulness that comes from that. And so how are we supposed to know how to do it? You know, we've never even seen it. But then, you know, you get together with people who are practicing that and people who maybe have been practicing that longer than you. You can see it modeled. You can see, I see that person is actually living what I want for myself, and they're talking about it. They're describing the process of how they are there and how they got there. I really want to listen to this because this is a way I can actually get there.
Yes, 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 yes. Exactly, exactly. And we have another caller, Justin.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael. Hello, Justin. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And a lot of it really is due to practice lately.
Cool. Love that.
I know. I called in and talked about it, I guess, a month and a half or 2 months ago. So I won't talk a lot about that again, but just the Zen Team program and email class and just lots of other stuff has been really great. But specifically, wanted to talk tonight about, lowering standards and acceptance. I've been a teacher now. I guess I'm in my seventh year of teaching, and it's been a really great and challenging place to practice. A place that seems really real. Working with young people, and wanting to do it really well.
For whatever
reasons, you know, wanting to do it really well for the kids, wanting to do it well because I have. Aspirations for education being done differently than it is being done, and
I'm hearing a heart kind of place in that.
Yes, I think that there is that, and the other part of it I believe is that there are also ego reasons, pride, and all those sorts of things, wanting to be a certain kind of person and have a certain kind of image of myself as a good teacher or as competent or kind or, you know, the ways I quotes, would like to see myself.
Yep.
So a mixture of all of that. But one of the things I've been looking at with my Zen coach has been, he talks about it as dropping the standards altogether, and so you know how that is come up for me just really in the last the latter part of last week in particular, just somehow this kind of no matter what it is, and particularly on the days that seem the most challenging, and you know if I'm not quotes, performing the way I think I ought to, or I'm always just a little bit behind, or, you know, not quite as kind with the child as I'd like to be, or, you know, whatever it is, and you know, or things not working out the way I would want them to, that's really the best practice opportunity right there. That's it. And
it's true, because there's a lot of conditioning happening, isn't there, in that? That's
right.
The whole thing is conditioning's assessment of what's going on.
Yes, and that assessment, I guess one of the things that is happening is that assessment has always been so assumed and so unconscious. I think that there's a process going on slowly of that assessment, you know, being a little more conscious. Or that is, awareness being able to see that process happening a little more.
Yes.
What has been happening a little bit has been, there's just been, you know, I get one other piece of it is my coach said to me, say you do whatever you do, say you're not as kind to one of the kids as, you know, he's saying this to me, you know, as basically is what he was talking about. I guess he said it in terms of, let's say I do something that's not skillful, in quotes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, or at least assessment is that it's not skillful.
Mm-hmm.
Where the practice comes in is to be kind to myself.
Yes.
No matter what it is that I think I have done, mm-hmm. you know, or it's being told to me that I've done that's been, you know, wrong or horrible or whatever. And so that's really been the focus. I have my coach encouraged me to make something on my, recording and listening to my voice recorder to listen to every morning for 30 days before going to work,
mm-hmm.
that talks about my intentions.
Mm.
And so my intention for the workday, especially, and I say this specifically, especially on the days that are most challenging, are just to be present and kind and accepting and just to notice, you know, if yeah. nothing else, to just notice and be present and
am I hearing that that's without standards and expectations?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just I seem like bad experiences is happening more of on the days that things aren't going the way according to the story that I would like to live, supposedly, there's just acceptance, being able to be okay.
Yeah.
Rather than that added thing, it's not to say that there's no suffering there, it's not completely gone, but it's kind of like it doesn't tend to stick very much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, there's a noticing that this isn't going the way I'd like it to be. But a lot of the self-judgment piece is not being added on as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as a part of that, would you say that you're questioning the I that's making the evaluations and the assumptions?
Hmm.
I'm projecting that you are. That's why I said that, actually. Because, that kind of intention doesn't come from a place that is believing the stories.
Yeah, that's interesting. The intention to be present in acceptance, is that what you mean, that kind of intention?
Yeah, I mean, without the standards. I mean, what I hear you saying is, so here's this guy who... He really cares about these kids. Am mm-hmm. I right about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Loves the kids?
Mm, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also wants something good for them. You said, you've got an idea about, an idea about how education for them could be something really good, really even better than what is currently offered.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, it's easy to project. There's a lot of heart in this guy who's going to work every day doing this, especially since, a lot of times it sounds like it's challenging, but he's doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's somebody, there's a perspective that calls itself me,
mm-hmm.
calls itself I, that is evaluating everything that happens in order to... do something to this guy that is really unkind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? To pull
yeah.
him into a world where he's, I'm just totally making this up, so straighten me out if I'm not in the ballpark, but here's how it would be for me. Not okay in some way, not good enough, not the right person, putting things around to feel bad about, that you can carry it home later and ruminate over and how, we should have done this and should have done that. That's a really unkind thing to do to this person who is putting so much of himself into goodness just out of pure love for it.
A couple of things. One, it's really nice to hear it reflected that way. And those things, all you know, the things you said, do feel true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more I can see that kind of the goodness in myself,
mm-hmm.
And the intention really to come from a place of compassion and kindness and even fun. For it to
and
be
fun
for the kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. I that intention, I want them to enjoy life.
And you want to show them that that's possible.
Yes.
By being that yourself.
Yes.
Not by talking about it to them, but by being that, because of course that's the only way that they can really get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and,
what I hear that you're doing is your practice is having your attention, and this is sort of an extrapolation on what you said, so see what you think, but having your attention on that goodness, you know, on what is really so, and I would say that is really so. You know, there's that goodness, there's the heart that's there that comes to work, instead of the evaluation and the judgment and criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the great thing about focusing on the goodness, which I don't, some of the things you've said, I don't know that I have thought about, I know I haven't thought about them in this way, but I certainly have maybe not thought of it in terms of focusing on the goodness, but there is a way in which I do that sometimes in,
mm-hmm.
you know, intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about doing that is that when I focus on the goodness in myself, that's what I project onto the kids.
Isn't that amazing? And that's what they experience.
Mm-hmm.
They experience, here's someone who's here. And of course, I mean, I'm sure there's nobody in the room who could actually articulate it that way. But that's the experience. Here's someone who's here, who is not in conditioned mind, you know, living in a world of assessment and judgment, but is here, who is in goodness. And they experience goodness. You project their goodness. It's like it changes the whole world, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. That is, I think, one of the great things about working with children for me, as I've thought about it as spiritual practice for a long time, because it's so obvious. I can't, you know, whether I'm in which world I'm living in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I can't get away with it. I can't get away with being in the world of something wrong, and because it's so obvious that
And they don't know how to play that game very well yet.
Right, which is great.
Uh-huh.
Which is, because I don't need to explain any more, but it's interesting to me that the key to it is acceptance of this person.
Yeah.
That's like the key that unlocks all of it.
It absolutely is. It's the only way, isn't it?
Yeah, and because, you know, the belief that I have, you know, begun to question through practice and guidance, slowly and slowly over years, but the belief that judgment somehow is helpful and is going to help me change and be the person that I want to be and
mm-hmm.
be kind to the kids and, you know, it's what locks it in place.
Yeah, it absolutely doesn't, does it?
Right.
Because it's so unkind
to
you. It's the same thing, really. You know, so it's unkind to you. If you believe it, you're living in a world of unkindness, and it's, you know, it's hard for anything other than that to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're living in a world of acceptance, of awareness of your inherent goodness, then, you know, that's the place. You know, everything that comes through you is informed by that.
Yes, and it seems like the another great thing about it is, even if I wasn't coming from that place a moment ago,
mm-hmm.
Let's say I do say something that is, and I do, that is,
which you will.
That is less than compassionate to a child, but if there's acceptance around that,
yes.
Then in the next moment, you know, I can make an apology. I can, you know, I don't have to care, keep doing it the rest of the day.
Yeah.
What
you're modeling for the kids is not somebody who is being perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? You're modeling somebody who's human, who is practicing acceptance.
Right.
And boy, talk about something that's helpful. I mean, that's not going to be very helpful to have Mr. Perfect up there, you know, who never makes a mistake. I mean, that's not going to be their experience. But to have somebody who's totally human, who is doing the best he can, and sometimes does things really, you know, skillfully, sometimes, you know, have little slip-ups, but doesn't get beat up over that, and gets unconditional love and acceptance even so.
Yeah, because then it's a safe world to live in.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and then they'll learn.
Right, yeah. Well, I really appreciate it. Just thanks. Thanks for this conversation and for everything.
Yeah, well, thank you too, Jeff.
Absolutely. And thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Hey, take care.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. You're listening to Open Air. Another great call, Justin.
Are we at the end of our time?
No, we're not. I was just saying that was another great conversation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry to mislead you there.
Looked at my watch and said, boy, my watch must be off.
Yeah. And we're going to break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Justin.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, guys. It's Jeffrey in Manhattan.
Well, hey, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Hey, what a wonderful, wonderful show. What a great, great time tonight.
What's going on in Manhattan?
Well, there's plenty going on in Manhattan.
I bet there is.
But there's also, in this particular form in Manhattan, there's a lot of gratitude for all of the tools that we get to work with.
People have been talking about them all evening, haven't they?
Yeah, it's sort of been a chance to check in and say, oh yeah, that too, yes, and that, and the support, and that. It's great.
Yeah, it sure is.
And it sort of feels like, you know, recording and listening, especially as a foundation and sort of a favorite of mine right now, it feels, I don't know how to phrase it, it's sort of like a fast track to that connection to the heart, to that natural presence, you know?
Yeah, that's really my experience too. It's my favorite too. Could you say a little bit about how that works for you? I mean, what you mean when you say that?
Yeah, well, there are a few things that come up about it. You know, in the beginning, because I started recording and listening relatively around the time that it was introduced to us.
Yep.
And in the beginning, conditioning predicted that it would, a few things. It would grow old, it's going to get boring, it's not going to work after a while.
No surprise there.
No surprise there, yeah, exactly. And to find that here it is years later, and it is still just a highlight of my time and my life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It just keeps getting deeper, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's more to see, more to try, more to do. Yeah.
You know what I just saw, Jeffrey? I don't know if this is your experience or not, but it just popped in my head when you said that. I think the reason for that, one of the reasons for that is the recording listening is mirroring our practice and where we are in practice. It's kind of like it's following us along as we're going. And so it's always reflecting, you know, what is inspiring us now and or challenging us now. You know, the breakthroughs we're having, the struggles we're having, the work we're doing. And so it's always right where we are. So it always stays really alive.
Yes, and at the same time, and I don't know if you've had this experience, if I go back and listen to older recordings, there is a great compassion for that person who was practicing.
Yeah,
that was practicing.
Yeah, that's very much my experience. And it's also, it's interesting how a lot of times what was being talked about back then is really helpful for what's going on right now. In a way that I never could have seen back then. But it's like, oh, that's exactly it. That's exactly what I needed.
Yes, yes. The like older recordings will be filled with all these really profound insights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not me looking back having the insights. It's me talking about things as they're unfolding for me. But it's this great understanding that has also deepened over time. You know?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I do know. Yeah, what? Tell me, so we're comparing experiences here. Tell me if this is how it works for you. So,
yes.
You know, there's old recordings. I actually have mine on shuffle, so I get new ones, older ones, and they kind of come through. And so, like when I make the recording, I've just seen something generally, and I've just kind of, you know, just seen a little something, and then it cycles back around. And when it comes back around, it's kind of like I get to see that again, but I also get to see, usually I get to see something new. It's like, oh, there's that, and here's another little piece of that. Or maybe what's going on right now informs that in a way that I get to see it in a broader way. And then I'll record about that. And so that will add a little piece to it. And then, of course, that becomes a part of what cycles around. And then I've got those two recordings, and then as they're coming in, so the same thing is happening. So it's kind of like it's building a, I can't think of a really good analogy, but it's almost like a database or something, but it's building an experience, maybe a better way of talking about it, by putting these pieces together. And it's the cycling through that kind of keeps it continuous and keeps it all one thing.
Sort of like cells in the body of the Buddha. It feels like it's this organism that keeps growing and growing. And
that's a great way of saying it.
It's repository of wisdom.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, and there's, you know, conditioning would also want to cover up that there are these years of wisdom, but here is the proof of that.
Uh-huh, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to believe a bunch of voices that say we don't have our act together, or, you know, we never see anything, when it's just coming in through our ears all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and to say things like, well, back then you didn't know what was happening, but to see really there's this recording of very, very, very deep insights proving it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And the other part that I skipped over that you said that I thought was really a good point and really important is the compassion for the person who was speaking back then.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, and to recognize that through that same practice, the compassion is here now for what's happening for this being now.
Yep. Yep. So true.
Yeah. Well, good life.
Yeah, it really is. It really works. I'm really getting that from what people are saying tonight. I mean, because I think if everyone has talked about that, you know, doing practice, applying the practice, and then just here's what happens. Here's the unfolding of a possibility that happens through practice. And taking advantage of all the tools, you know, and setting these commitments and all of that. You know, if we just, there's an old saying in the practice, as I'm sure you know, just show up and the miracle happens. Seems like that's what people are talking about.
Yeah, and I can remember that this very specific time when it stopped seeming like their practice and started to feel like our practice.
Oh, wow, that's big. Yeah, that's big.
Yeah.
That's a turning point in a person's life, isn't it?
Yes, and there's recordings to enjoy that turning point again and again and again, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Jeffrey. Thanks for calling in.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. You've been listening to Open Air. Justin, it was a great pleasure to have you here. And as a surprise, as you noticed at the beginning.
Yeah, it's always fun. Life is full of surprises. It's good to have
surprises. Yeah. And when we take them with a smile, it's great.
Yeah, I know. That is so true. That is so true. Yeah, that just, that's what makes the difference, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Just responding. Oh, okay. Just going with what life throws at us, as you model for us so well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care, Michael.
Okay, you too.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.